Good to see each and every one of you here today. We're a little bit short today, but this evening, but glad to see everyone here that is here. We had mentioned earlier that this was our question and answer sermon, lesson, or I guess you might say, that we were planning to do second Sunday evening of each month. We'll try it again in July. Only had one question, and so I guess it's just basically going to be what my sermon is. The question was, what is the role of the elderly in the church? I think I have an idea who asked the question, but the question is important because you look around us. Look around our congregation. Look around many congregations of the Lord's church. Oftentimes, a large number, maybe even a majority of the members are elderly or would be considered elderly by some of those that are younger. You know, I'm sure there are some maybe in this audience that even think I'm elderly, but then my kids will, they're my kids. So. I remember thinking when my dad was 35 that he was ancient, and that was a long time ago. And so, and I'm way past 35. And so we need to talk about the role of the Christian, of the elderly in the church. And because one is elderly, they don't stop being a Christian. They don't stop being faithful, or they shouldn't. And so, you know, the Christian should grow old with, first of all, God in mind, with all the enthusiasm that he or she can muster, and with a great hope of heaven. And so we look in the book of Genesis, in chapter 25, verses 7 and 8, we read about Abraham. And it says there, these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 115 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And so notice that Abraham served God his entire life. You know, we read about from when he was first called, he was a young man to go with his family down to Haran. And then later from Haran, he was called to go into a country that God would show him. He was still, at the time, a relatively young man. And so he served God. He had Isaac, his son, at the age of 100 in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 5. We read that he lived to be 175 years old. And, of course, no one here is going to live that long, I'm sure. But in that long period of his life, which really, in comparison with eternity, is a big zero. That's a whole lot of nothing. It's a very short period of time. But he served God throughout all of his life. You know, just because someone has attained a certain age that they are considered to be elderly does not mean that they do not have value in our society, that they do not have value in the Lord's church. You know, you can read stories about people in their old age that do things that are, you know, kind of surprising. For instance, there was a woman by the name of Yuseba Babson. She graduated on May 26, 2004. She graduated from high school. You know, there's nothing really special about her academic record. You know, she was an average student. Her performance was average, but what set her apart is that she was 90 years old when she did graduate. And so we also read about a woman by the name of Mary Robertson. She was born in the year 1860. You know, she had a family, she had a husband, she raised her children. Her husband died in the early 1930s, and so do the math, she was in her 70s, at which point she had to stop doing needlework that she was really like to do because arthritis in her hands. So she took up painting, and she painted many paintings about things that she'd experienced in her childhood. She was discovered by some people, and her paintings became very valuable. Today we know her as Grandma Moses, one of the most famous American painters, and there's a whole school of painting, whole school of art that kind of follows the way she did it, called naive art, that she is kind of the mother or the mother of American naive art. She just kind of painted what she saw without any real training. But she was in her late 70s when she began that. And so it's amazing the things that people can do, even in old age. I remember even my grandfather, of course I don't remember, I wasn't around then, but he was 57 years old when he first picked up a guitar and started learning. You know, I knew later when he played the guitar and the fiddle and the banjo and the piano, he played all kinds of instruments, just about anything he could pick up, he could play. And he never picked up one of those instruments until he was in his mid-50s. And so you can learn a lot even as an elderly person. You know, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you certainly can with humans. And so we are all getting old. All of us are getting older. We're all a year older than we were this time last year. We're all a day older than we were this time yesterday. And so we're all going to be aging. But as an elderly person, an aging Christian should grow old with God in mind. You know, God certainly understands growing older, and he provides for his children. In Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4, he said, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and I, and even to your old age, I am he. Even to the hoar hairs will I carry you." Now the hoar hairs, that's the gray ones, those gray ones, the hoary hairs, the hoary head is the gray-headed one. "And so even to your old age I am he, even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." Now this is a promise given to the people of Israel, the people of God's people, his people. The same applies to us today. If we are his children, he is going to be with us even in our old age. You know, God provides for his children when they are older, and he will take care of them. Now, I'm reminded of a song written by Paul McCartney, and I imagine he wrote it when he was a young man, and he said, "Will you still," I can't remember the exact lyrics, but he said, "Will you still love me, will you still care for me when I'm 64? And he probably thought that was a great old age. Of course, he's well past that himself now. But God will take care of us. We don't have to ask that question. God will take care of us. And so God understands the infirmities that through which elderly people, that older people go through. When we look over in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you know, here is an elderly man, Solomon. He is writing to his to younger people. And so he's passing on some advice. And Solomon at this time in his life is at a very advanced age. And so he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the door shall be shut in the street, when the sound of the grinding is low, when he shall rise up the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be of the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Over the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." And so notice here, there is that aging process. He says, "Remember now the Creator in the days of your youth." Before old age sets in, and the problems that come with that, there are certain problems that come with old age. I saw a t-shirt once. It was worn by an elderly person, and I don't remember what was on it, but I remember what it said. It said, "Growing old ain't for sissies." And there is some truth to that. It just makes it clear here that it's not that easy. You know, the sun, the light, the moon, the stars be darkened. You know, it becomes harder to see. Our vision gets worse as we get older with many of us. You know, the keepers of the house tremble. Maybe the bones he's talking about, we become weak and enfeebled. They're afraid. You know, falling down for a 10-year-old is no big deal. You know, a 3-year-old, watch those twins run out there and fall down. They get right back up. It doesn't bother them at all. But try that when you're 83. It's a big difference. So there's a little bit more fear involved in walking around and getting about. And so we see God understands that. And he sympathizes with that. You know, so as we grow older, our relationship with God should grow stronger. It will grow stronger because we will recognize the futility of earthly things. You know, I no doubt that those of you that are of advanced age, you have seen things change throughout your life. You've seen things come and go, trends and fashions and all kinds of things come and go, and you understand that nothing is really permanent. And I hope we survive the tattoo epidemic in this country, because there's going to be some elderly people with some funny-looking things all over them. I remember, off topic here, but I remember an old man who worked for the Coast Guard. He was a World War II veteran, and he'd had all these tattoos all over his arm, and he was in his upper 80s. And anyway, it didn't look too pretty. And so things come and go. So they recognize the futility of earthly things. You know, we understand our complete dependence upon God, and we are no longer work as we once could. You know, we will begin to realize the brevity of life itself. And so to grow old without God, then, is truly unthinkable. And so we should grow old with a mind of God, and not to, you know, quit, not retire, so to speak, spiritually. You know, the aging Christian should grow old with all the enthusiasm they can muster. Now, I'm sure I've noticed my own self, and I'm by no means very old. I'm middle-aged, starting to get to middle-age. But I've noticed that my get up and go is not quite what it once was. And so whatever we can muster, we've got to muster that. You know, there's a great temptation with growing older to have that "I've already done it" mentality. You know, this can take multiple forms. You know, "Oh, we did that before. Oh, you know, we tried that, it won't work." Or, "Everyone's already heard that." Or, "I've served my time, you know, I've done all my things in my time, and so it's time for me to kind of step aside." Or, "You know, there's just really nothing left for me to do, or nothing left that I can do." And that's not the attitude that we should take. You know, our bodies may be growing older. We ought to have, though, our spirits renewed day by day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16, Paul wrote, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You know, we may grow old and our bodies may be winding down, but our spirit can be revived every single day and can become stronger and more dedicated and more focused as the days and years go by. In Psalm 73, verse 26, the psalmist there said, "My flesh and heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." You know, as we grow older and become more physically weaker, we can become more spiritually dependent upon God. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, he says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Those that wait on the Lord, those that have faith, those that put their trust in the Lord, he says, they can be renewed. Their spiritual strength is renewed day by day. You know, the older Christian really has a lot to offer. They have a lot to offer the church. You know, in wisdom, you think about the wisdom. Now, just because someone is older does not necessarily inherently mean that they are wise. You know, there's such a thing as an old fool. But generally speaking, those that have dedicated themselves to learning and being a good, faithful Christian, they have gained wisdom. And so, you know, we think about, again, Solomon. You know, he was at least middle age, maybe upper middle age, when he wrote the book of Proverbs to his son. When he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, we get the indication that he is a very advanced age. And so he wrote and imparted wisdom because of the experiences and the things that he had learned in life. The elderly have great amount to offer with regard to their experience. You know, with that wisdom is the experience, or the wisdom comes from the experience. And Psalm 37 and verse 25, the psalmist wrote, "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And so there's a great experience here. This man says, the psalmist says, you know, "I'm an old man now, but I was once young, and I've lived a long time. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen God turn away from his people." They have much to offer in teaching. You know, in fact, it is the older men who become elders and feed the flock of God. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. You know, Peter writes as an elder to elders. He says, "To feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." And so it is the older men with the experience and the wisdom and the knowledge of God's word that really are the ones that are responsible for teaching and feeding the flock of God. You know, the older women also are to teach the younger women. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, there we read, "The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." In Psalm number 92, in verses 12 through 15, Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him." Notice here, these are the ones that have been planted in the Lord, the ones that have been rooted in the Word of God. They've grown as Christians, and they've matured. Even in old age, they are continuing to bring forth fruits. They are continuing to teach, to show future generations, younger generations, what is the will of God. And so they have a great ability to teach because of the experience and the wisdom that they have gained in a life of serving God. In Leviticus 19 and verse 32, it then tells us, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head." Again, that's that elderly person. "And honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord." And so they have much to offer in wisdom and experience and teaching. The elderly have much to offer in service. You know, older Christians can visit the sick, the orphans, and the widows. James 1 verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Again, I guess I told a story about preaching in West Texas. I'll tell another one. There was a gentleman of the congregation there. He was in his 80s. He still worked out on his ranch every single day. Yet every Thursday he took time to go to the nursing home and visit some of those people there that weren't even as old as he was. And some were even older. And of course the joke was, well, they'll let you in. They may not let you out because of his age. But he was always going about encouraging all of those people. And it was great and wonderful to be around him and to see that. And so they can visit the sick, the elderly, the orphans. They can visit those in the nursing homes. Older Christians can write cards and letters of encouragement. You know, I can just think in my life, some of the people that have encouraged me the most have been elderly people. I think of people who have gone on. You know, I can think of Jim. I can think of Tom or Vernon and Phyllis and all of these different people and some others, elders from other congregations that I've known that have helped me and taught me and encouraged me. There's a great encouragement that you are able to offer. And again, I think part of that is because you've seen a lot, you've done a lot, you've got a lot of experience and a lot of wisdom. And so you can be a great encourager of other Christians. You know, older Christians can influence neighbors and friends who come to see them. You can be about in the community and have a great influence. And I know that there are those of you out here that are like that, that are pillars in this community, and that people can look to you and they see you, they know who you are, and they know what you represent. Older Christians, there's things they can do. Certainly they can. They may not be able to go and knock 100 doors in a day, or they may not be able to do a lot of walking, even though I've known some that will walk you to death. There's one lady, Bella Puckett, that I went to Jamaica with. She'll walk you to death. She's well into her 80s, and she never quits. But you can help track. You can pass out tracts. You can do lots of things. Elderly people, Christians, can be a great involved in charity. You know, in some cases, our older Christians may have a little more wealth than the younger because, you know, they've had more years to accumulate. They can help those who are in need. You know, they can help because perhaps they have more time. You know, many older Christians are retired from secular work, so they can spend more time in service to the Lord. In many areas, the elderly, you know, the golden years of life can be the best years of a Christian's life. You know, take note of some of the accomplishments of elderly people in the past. You know, think about Moses. You know, we think about Moses, that baby in the basket. But how old was Moses when he led Israel out of Egypt? He was 80 years old when he began his life's work. He spent 80 years getting ready to do the thing that God had required him to do. And so he was 80 years old when he began to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so, quite an old man. Think about the next generation. You know, that generation that came out of Egypt, only two lived. Only two went into the promised land, and that was Joshua and Caleb, because they were righteous, they were faithful. You know, they were not the faithless spies like the others. And Caleb here in Joshua 14 and verse 12, he's 85 years old. 85 years old, he's promised an allotment of land, and promised a city that is his, that belonged to him and his descendants. At 85 years old, he still has yet to conquer this city. He says in verse 12 of Joshua 14, "Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spoke in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." He's 85 years old, and he's still wanting to do God's will, and knows that he can do it. You know, we read about others. You know, John, the Apostle John, lived to be nearly 100 years old, or around 100 years old. He likely died around the year 196 to 100 A.D., he was still preaching the Word of God. He was still writing letters, writing books. Perhaps he wrote the Revelation during that period of time. Perhaps he wrote, you know, some of his other epistles during that age. We read about Paul the Aged, as he calls himself in Philemon verse 9. You know, he was in prison there in Rome. He wrote four letters, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. And in one of those letters in Philippians, he said, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me." And so even Paul the Aged understood there was much that he could still do. And so the aged Christian should serve God with all the enthusiasm that they can. The aging Christian should grow old also with a hope of heaven. You know, while it's not something that we like to think about, you know, the older are closer to death and eternity than the younger. At least if things run the natural course. Certainly other things can happen and intervene. But this, for you, should not be a time of sorrow. It should be a time of great joy. Those faithful Christians who are older are closer to their eternal salvation. You know, Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 24, he said, here for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Remember, again, this is written in that period of time when he calls himself Paul the aged. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful to you. And so here, you know, Paul said, I was given a choice between life or death. He said, I'm kind of stuck between. I want to go and be with the Lord, but I want to stay here so that I can be a benefit, so I can be of service to you. And so, yes, our bodies may be deteriorating, but our souls should be strengthened. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read beginning in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We continue in chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building made of God, made with a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon our house, upon with our house, which is from above. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. And so our souls can be strengthened, even though our house of our tabernacle, of this tabernacle, this physical body, though it's deteriorating, we don't have to deteriorate spiritually. You know, we must come to the realization that this earth is not the ultimate reality. It is not our ultimate home. You know, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 or 5 said that man is going to his long home. His long home is not this earth. His long home is in heaven. In Hebrews 9, verse 24, it says, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Heaven is our ultimate home. Hebrews 11, verse 13, down to verse 16, that great hall of fame of faith. It says there, verses 13 through 16, says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for it prepared for them a city. And then finally, 2 Peter 3 and verse 13 says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so the aged should grow old with an eye on heaven, with an understanding that they are one day closer, one step nearer to eternity in heaven. And so we should grow old with God in mind, with all the enthusiasm that we can put together, with a great hope of heaven. You know, if you're a Christian and you're alive, and if you're here, you're alive, then you are growing older. You may consider yourself already to be old, but you're still going to get older still. You know, perhaps you're a young person. You know, one day, barring some tragic circumstance, you're going to be old too. And so take heed to these things. Remember that while you're young. remember God in the days of thy youth. You know, perhaps you are old and have you given in to the temptation of old age to just kind of slack off spiritually, to give up on spiritual efforts? Let us not give up one second of serving God. The crown of life awaits for those who are faithful in death. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you're not a Christian, then you need to become a Christian. You need to remember now thy Creator while you have time, while you have opportunity. You know, we become a Christian by obeying the gospel, hearing, believing, confessing Christ, repenting of our sins and being baptized and having our sins washed away, and then live a life faithfully serving God. Today, if you're here and you're not a Christian, or you are one that hasn't been faithful and you want to make it right, we're here to help you. If we can help you in any way, I want you to let us know as we stand and as we sing.